Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience on this beautiful September 3rd, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook. I am blessed, hallelujah, to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by my beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family, in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Deacon William Isbell, Brother Lee Larson, and Sister Terry Larson. Hallelujah. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. And we pray that you will hear something on this morning that will uplift your spirit and bless your very soul. Now, at this time, we are going to get this praise party started and go into opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for giving us another day to be able to come together in fellowship and worship you, Heavenly Father. We lift up the messenger today and the message. May it touch our hearts and our souls so that we have the spirit of your fruit with us all week, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the Spirit of Life Ministries and all that it delivers to everyone near and far. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. And glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell to come forth, and she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far you are. This morning's meditational reading is entitled, Seek Blessing Over Your Family. And we'll be looking at Psalms 5 and primarily verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Now, what do you believe and say to your loved ones every day? For Orthodox Jews, on Friday evening in their homes, the father lays his hands on his children and pronounces God's blessing on them. No wonder Jewish children grow up to be winners in the fight of life. They become some of the world's greatest inventors, bankers, musicians, and entertainers. Although a minority race, the Jews have pronounced the most number of Nobel Prize winners. I believe that it is because they bless their children in the same way the patriarchs of the Old Testament did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, releasing God's blessing upon their children by laying hands on them and speaking forth the blessings. Now, please go on your own time and look at Genesis chapter 27, verses 27 and 29. Verses 27 and 29, 38 through 40, chapter 48, verses 14 through 16. Now, in the New Testament, the apostles pronounced blessings over the churches they were preaching to the church of Philippi, Paul declared, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 19. John released a powerful blessing upon Dinah when he said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And we can read that in the Gospel of John, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. I'm sorry. Even Jesus pronounced a blessing of deliverance on the daughters of the Syrophoenician woman. Go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And you can read that in Mark 7, 29. This was a blessing of deliverance by proxy. The woman took it by faith and found that her daughter was well when she reached home. Read that in verse 30. Likewise, the centurion took the blessings by faith, and healing came upon his servants back home. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. The parents of a little girl did the same thing while worshiping in our church. Their daughter was in the hospital in the final stages of cancer. When I pronounced the blessing of healing that Sunday, they received it and pronounced it over their daughter. She was soon discharged from the hospital, healed. So, friends, bless your loved ones. Declare over them as you and surround you with favor as with a shield. speak forth your own blessings by declaring, thank you, Lord, for you prosper me and me in excellent health. May the Lord add blessings and favors upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous words. The thought for today, pronounce God's blessing over your children, and they will grow up to be winners in the fight of life. Amen, and glory to God.
I'll be
Jesus, and glory to God.
Glory to God.
It is now prayer time. Hallelujah. Here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we go to the Lord collectively and individually to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. Because we want you to know that the same concerns that you have, we have, and we're going to stand together united in prayer before the Most High God. So would you please bow your hearts. Get your mind focused. Hallelujah. Forget about everything else right now. And prepare yourself. Humble yourself. Because we're about to go to the Most High God with God's apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each and every one of you that are on the broadcast this morning. Let us go into prayer right now. We're going to enter into the throne of grace. Amen. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, as always, thanking you for who you are, and we thank you for how you were taking care of us. We thank you for waking us up this morning, allowing us another day to serve you, another day to lift up your name. We thank you for that. And Father God, we come to you in behalf of others this morning, asking, Lord, that you would move mightily in the name of Jesus,
yes,
in the situations that we have before you this morning. We lift up our government.
Yes.
Ask, Lord, that you would move mightily.
Yes, Lord.
In the government. Oh, in the name of Jesus, our government officials, not only in the United States, but all across the world.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus. We know that things are chaotic right now. And we ask, Lord, that you would move because we know that you can. We pray that you would move in the political realm in the name of Jesus. And that you would change the lives of these official leaders all over the world, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, that you would, where there is hatred, that you would bring about love.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. That many will begin to look to you, God. The one and true God, hallelujah, living God. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in these situations in Jesus' name, that you would straighten out some of the mess in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, do it. Also, speak healing for healings this morning, healings all over the place, people that are standing in need of a healing, people that are sick, people that are shut in. We pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus, those that are yet being held captive and in bondage to sin and all kinds of demonic situations. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for deliverance. Those that are still using drugs and alcohol, we pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there will be breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for miracles for those that are standing in need of a miracle. And we know that many are, but we know that you are a miracle-working God. So we lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would move in a miraculous way for them. We lift up those, Lord, that are grieving today. We pray, Lord, that the grief will not overtake them, but that there will be a healing that will take place. In the name of Jesus, touch, Lord. We pray that you would comfort in the name of Jesus, that people will feel your love, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That your love will overtake in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That it will overtake what they're going through in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, for our communities.
Yes, Lord.
Cities, our city officials. We ask, Lord, that there will be a stirring among them in the name of Jesus, that they will be more caring
yes.
for the people that have needs and those that are without and those that are unhoused. We pray that you will touch them in the name of Jesus, that you will provide in Jesus' name, that housing will open up for the unhoused in the name of Jesus. We lift up families to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen the family.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, that you would begin to build up the families. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that they will each one stand in their rightful place.
Yes.
In the homes.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, so that there will be a difference made, hallelujah, among them, among their children.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus, that the children will be taught, hallelujah, about you, Lord, that they will know you, hallelujah, because they will be taught your standards in the name of Jesus, that they will have a relationship with you, Lord, as you build up the father and the mother in the name of Jesus, that the children will also know you in the pardoning of their sins in Jesus' name. We pray also, Lord, that you will move in the schools.
Yes.
In the name mm-hmm. of Jesus, and that you will
yes.
take out the things that our children do not need and the things that you don't approve of. We pray, Lord, that there will be a change in that area. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we also pray your hand of protection upon the children. In the name of Jesus, that you will watch over them, that you will protect them from anyone coming in to bring about harm. We ask, Lord, that you will stand, hallelujah, on the grounds in the name of Jesus, in the buildings and the play areas, and that you will be there, God, for them in the name of Jesus. Protect them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you. We lift up the backsliders today. We ask, Lord, that you would have mercy in the name of Jesus, that you will have mercy upon them, God. Hallelujah. That they will be welcomed
yes.
in the name of Jesus. They will be welcomed back in the church,
yes,
back in
Lord.
The ministry that they were a part of, back on the broadcast.
Yes, Lord.
Everywhere
yes.
that you would have them to be, Lord, where they have been already,
yes.
that you will bring them back.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And if you see fit, Lord, to place them elsewhere, we ask, Lord, that you would move in
yes,
the name
Lord,
of Jesus,
the
on their behalf, God, that they will
yes,
be
Lord.
In a place, Lord, where they can continue to learn more about you, that they will be strengthened, that they will be helped, and that they will have a right relationship with you again, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask for these things in Jesus' name. We come against the spirits of oppression. And
yes,
oppression.
Lord God.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bind these
yes.
spirits. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We lose hope, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lose hope, and also we pray that they will be instilled with faith and love, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. That they will become stronger in you, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And we just praise you for it.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you. We also thank you, Lord, for the improvement in the mental health realm. And
yes.
We thank you for that, Lord.
Yes.
We thank
Lord.
You that some of the stigma has been lifted. We thank
yes.
you. We thank you for hope. We thank you for help. In the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the
yes.
name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you that these people are not being just cast aside, but you are raising up people, hallelujah, in hospitals and other places, agencies that are helping and making a difference.
Yes.
We thank you for that, God. We thank you. And we also lift up the law enforcement, Lord.
Yes.
There needs to be much improvement, hallelujah, in this department. And we pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, that you would straighten out some situations, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we come against the racial situation.
Yes, Jesus.
In the law enforcement realm. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will step in and that you will make a great change. In the name of Jesus. And we just thank you.
Thank you.
We lift up the unsaved.
Yes.
Even within our own families.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
We pray for the unsaved all
over the world.
In the name of Jesus. Because we know that you died for all of us.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
In this world. And so we ask, Lord, that they will be drawn by your spirit in the name of Jesus, that there will be a great harvest coming soon. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you. And now we lift up Spirit of Life Ministry.
Bless
we ask,
you.
Lord, that you would move in a special way.
Bless you.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Continue to bless you as you always do. In Jesus' name, we pray that more people will be saved.
Yes.
In the name of
Lord.
Jesus. Even am today. We pray for souls.
Yes, Lord.
And we also lift up other ministries.
Yes, Jesus, bless.
And broadcasts that are listening in today and that are part of the ministry. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily.
Yes, Lord, bless them, oh God.
In the name of Jesus, that you would be every team. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord. For your sake.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. We thank you for it. We thank you. Remember those that are in bondage in the jails. And
yes, Lord. Please.
In our halls. Remember them, Lord. We speak salvation.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. For the staff as well as the inmates. And we thank you, Lord, for moving in their behalf.
Yes.
We thank you for all that you are doing. Amen and amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
How many know that God has been good to you? That's what this song is all about. Being a witness for the Lord. Come on, clap your hands. Just tell the world how good God really is. When I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, when I think about his mercy and how he's set me free, there's one conclusion, he's so bad, he is the best thing that I ever had. And I got a witness that God, go out and tell that.
glory, glory. Mighty good. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Mighty good.
Praise him.
Yes.
The Lord is good.
Yes, all the time. Yes, sir. Mighty God. Good God.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father,
I'm here. Lord God, it is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. And before I get into the message this morning, I first want to give honor to God. I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus. I want to give honor and glory to the anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive and to you, God's elect. Peace and blessings to you and your household. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace. Just asking, Lord, if I've said, thought, did anything during this worship service, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me right now in the name of Jesus, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit, Father God.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I want to stand worthy. Hallelujah. I want to be able to carry your word with conviction. Completely empty me, Father God. I want to completely decrease so that you might have all the increase.
Yes.
Because, Lord God, you said if you be lifted up,
yes.
Not Apostle Cook, not Mother Mitchell, not Apostle Zeta, but if you be lifted up,
yes.
That you would draw all men unto yourself.
Yes.
So, Lord God, it is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray it all, and I give you all the honor and the glory. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, God. We are now up to chapter 23, hallelujah, and our transformational journey in the book of Acts. So, again, retrieve your Bible if you have not already done so. Turn to Acts 23, and today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. Acts 23, verses 1 through 11. We're going to walk through that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you don't have a Bible, but you're listening via your smartphone, your computers, hallelujah, please go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts 23, and we're going to be once again looking at verses 1 through 11. I want to ask you a question. Has anyone here ever owned a BMW? Or has anyone ever wanted to own a BMW? Well, it might shock you to know that Jesus gave his disciples some BMWs before he went back to heaven. Yes, he did, y'all. Well, sort of, kind of. You see, in Acts 1, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until God gave them the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 1 through 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You see, Jesus created in them an expectation. You might call it a BMW expectation. Because he was saying, be my witnesses. Now, I'm sorry to let some of you car enthusiasts down like that. But the expectation of Jesus for us is to become effective witnesses who will tell others what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have experienced through our relationship with the Lord. Now, The BMWs that Jesus gave his followers was the expectation to be my witnesses. Another BMW said, be my worshipers. Yet another one said, be my workers. And yet another one says, be my warriors. So, what are we talking about? Well, here it is in a nutshell. Jesus wants us to be witnesses for him who effectively, you hear me, effectively share the good news of his grace with others. Hallelujah. So today, I'm going to share with us all how to go from wanting a BMW to being a BMW for the Most High God. And as we look at how Paul handled himself before the Sanhedrin, we can pick up a few pointers about being an effective witness for the Lord. See, the first thing we need to look for, I'm going to point out to you, is God's BMWs are effective witnesses that show respect to others. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. The word of God declares and decrees. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, my brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all conscience to this day. At this, yes, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck?
Yeah.
Those who were standing near Paul said, you dare to insult God's high priest? To which Paul replied, brother, I did not realize that he was a high priest. For it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. Now, I'm going to take just a little bit more liberty here to broaden the principle of respect beyond what we see in this particular passage. Because, see, I can testify from the word of God that Paul always made every effort to honor God's command, which included not speaking evil about those God had chosen to lead his people. Now, it didn't matter whether they were right or wrong. Even David continued to honor King Saul, who had become a wicked and selfish man, because God's word said, touch not mine anointed. Now, one might wonder how Paul could say he did not know the high priest. Because Paul had been a Pharisee and had interacted with the Sanhedrin several times in his life, at various times of his life. He knew that it was the high priest who presided over the Sanhedrin. Now, there are various explanations for why Paul pleaded ignorant about the high priest's identity. Paul may have been away from Jerusalem for quite some time and may not have been familiar with the current high priest. However, in reality, it hadn't been all that long since Paul had been there. It's unlikely that he was dishonest about the fact that he did not recognize the high priest. Now, another possibility is that Paul had very poor eyesight and could not see who told them to hit Paul in the mouth. But now, remember, all of this is just pure speculation. It's quite possible that this was just a time when Paul's human imperfection revealed itself. You see, after getting smacked in the mouth, he kind of lost his cool and basically cursed the high priest and challenged his right to judge because he was prescribing punishment before hearing a case. Now, when Paul said he did not realize it was the high priest, that may have been his way of apologizing and retracting his statement, because he really did want to show respect to those in authority, even if they were wrong, because he knew that pleased God. Now, the high priest Ananias was famous for being both vicious and violent. He had been appointed by Herod, king of Chalcedon, some 10 years earlier, but was deposed by King Agrippa in 59 A.D. Some years later, he was murdered by assassins during the Jewish uprising of 66 A.D. He wasn't a great leader, but he was still someone God wanted Paul to respect by reason of his authority and the role that he filled. If we want to be effective witnesses for the Lord to other people, we must earn the right to be heard. If we rudely march into people's lives, showing no respect for their thoughts or feelings, but it's quite unlikely that we'll be effective witnesses for them. I remember when we all started hearing that phrase, don't diss me, or don't diss the way I dress or look. And I asked them, what the young people saying? What are they saying? And what they meant was, don't disrespect me or judge me by my outward appearance. At least get to know me for who I am before you make judgments about me. You see, when we diss people, we are disrespecting those who were made in the image of God just as we were. Now listen, we don't have to agree with everything people do or how they present themselves, but we must be careful not to do anything that slams the door of God's love on them. We need to set aside our personal preferences and accept and love people the way they are, where they are. Now, some of these differences may be cultural, they may be generational, and really have no bearing on pleasing God. The Word of God says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Amen.
So what do we do with the principle of respect? First, make sure that you show honor and respect to those in positions of authority and leadership. You see, saints of God, I don't care how bad the government is looking right now, or your government is looking right now, we can't undermine national leaders, state leaders, country leaders, county or city officials. See, it doesn't mean that they are always right, but at least we have to show respect for the place of authority they are in, okay? But now moving beyond that, we need to show respect to all people. It doesn't matter whether we meet a beggar or a well-dressed businessman on the street. We must love everyone, from the prisoner to the preacher and from the addict to the apostle. We've got to treat all people with love, respect, and dignity. Why? Simply because they are human beings created in God's image. That will help make us more effective as we tell others about the love and grace of God. Now, let's move on to another key to effectively pointing people to Jesus. God's BMWs are effective witnesses that are innocent, yet wise. Let us go to verses 6, and then we're going to read down through 10. Word of God said, then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brother, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledged them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Thanks God, part of me reads this and wonders if Paul was just being really smart and creating a distraction away from himself. Huh. But he knew one thing. He was wise. He knew that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not agree on a lot of things. And Paul surely knew that it wouldn't take a whole lot to ignite the hostility that existed between the two groups. You see, the Sanhedrin was the religious ruling body over Israel. The high priest resided over the Sanhedrin. Most of the 70 or so members of the Sanhedrin were Sadducees, but there were several Pharisees as well. And most of the opposition to Jesus and his followers came from the Sadducees. Jesus and Paul had much more in common with the Pharisees than with the Sadducees. In fact, Paul had been a Pharisee and identified himself as one here. So the reaction of the Pharisees is not at all surprising. Yet as I look at this passage, I don't really believe that Paul was trying to confuse the issue. He appealed to the Pharisees knowing that they believed in the resurrection, which did not place them too far away from believing in Jesus. Now, as Paul stood up and said this, perhaps the Pharisees really began to understand what Paul had been teaching, preaching, and living really did make a lot of sense. They realized that their doctrine was not so far removed from Paul's doctrine about Jesus and the resurrection. So in one sense, Paul was boiling down all the issues of Christianity to the one central issue, the resurrection. He teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 that the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope for the future resurrection of every believer. Again, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but didn't have as much to base it on as Paul did. Now, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead gives us a solid foundation for the future resurrection of all of us believers. Paul taught that Jesus was the first fruit of those who would rise from the dead. So I think that Paul was sincerely reaching out to the Pharisees, appealing to their belief in the resurrection as a connection to his faith and devotion to Jesus. Now, having said that, we cannot deny that God gave Paul wisdom to say what he said about the resurrection. You see, the feud that transpired between the Pharisees and the Sadducees may have spared his life for the time being. As the Pharisees and the Sadducees began shouting at each other, the high priest Ananias lost control of hearing, and the troops had to come to Paul's rescue. Now, if this had not happened, it is likely that Paul would have been accused of disturbing the peace, the Pax Romana, which was punishable by death. Many others had stood before the Sanhedrin and had met their death in a result of their ruling. Stephen was one of them. And Paul had been there giving his consent to Stephen's death before he had his personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd or wise as snakes and as innocent as doves. Paul used his situation both to bring the Pharisees closer to receiving Jesus and to create a distraction that would end the proceedings that could very well cost him his life. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul wasn't afraid to die for the cause of Jesus, but he knew it was not his time to do so yet.
Amen.
I really believe the Lord led him to do what he did, giving him the wisdom to create this riot among the Sanhedrin, while at the same time appealing to the Pharisees to embrace the fullness of the resurrection of Jesus as the basis for their future resurrection and our future resurrection. So it's okay to be wise and to be shrewd in our approach as long as we are being led by the Holy Spirit and not sacrificing our integrity, God's honesty, or our testimony. Now, this final point is perhaps the most important one to remember. God's BMWs are effective witnesses that understand we need the encouragement from the presence of Jesus. Let's look at verse 11. The Word of God says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I really, really, honestly, and truly hope that you know that the Lord is near you, with you, and in you if you have surrendered your life to him. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 and 20, surely I am with you always to the very end of age. He also said he would never leave us or forsake us. So if we want to be effective witnesses to Jesus, to a lost and sin-sick world, then guess what? We have to have regular times of receiving encouragement from the Lord. In order to know what to do, when to do, and how to do it, we have to draw near to Jesus so that he draws near to us, and he will give us not only our instructions, but he will give us the strength and the hope that we need to get it done.
Come on, girl.
Well, most of us don't live in fear for our lives as Paul often did. But we still need to be close to God. We still need his closeness in order to be sustained and energized by him. And how do we do that? Is there something that we should do to know that we're in the Lord's nearness? There sure is. Can we take initiative to come close to God and experience his help? Oh, yes. Let me answer all of that with a resounding yes. Yes, we can. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we can draw near to Jesus through times of personal prayer. And in times of prayer together with other believers, we can have personal times of worship and singing in the presence of the Lord. And we can join together for proper times of worship and celebration. We can read the Word of God and be reminded of his great and precious promises to us. We can study the Bible alone, and we can study the Bible with other folks and other believers so that we can build up our direction and build up our hope as we study God's Word. Hallelujah. When we study God's Word, it becomes alive in us. And we can be assured that his promises are with us. When is the last time you just spent some quality time basking in the presence of the Lord? I am not talking about going up there, oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I won't. Or, no. I'm just talking about just going up there to sit in his presence, to delight in him, to behold his beauty. See, you have to know you can go up there and just sit in the presence of the Lord and don't even open your mouth and say nothing and still connect with God.
Amen.
And sometimes the more we learn how to keep our mouth shut, the more we can hear from the Lord.
Yes.
The more we will hear his, we will hear him speak directly to our hearts and our minds, giving us the courage and the reassurance that we need. Hallelujah. James 5:13 says, if any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Listen, do you need encouragement from the Lord? I came to tell you today that you can draw near to the Lord and he will come near to you. Now, as we wrap up today, what should we do with what we heard? How can we become more effective as we share the love of Jesus with others? First of all, we start by showing respect to all people. We need to learn to appreciate each and every person on the face of this earth and recognize them as people that God created and loved. No matter what about it, and it doesn't matter about their poor choice. It doesn't matter if what they've done has been offensive. It doesn't matter what the things they said may have hurt us. See, as Apostle Zeta said and prayed earlier, Jesus died for all of us. And then we must be humble. Above all else, we have to be humble, sincere, and innocent as we share our faith. But we also have to use common sense. And use common sense means we need to go to God for wisdom to know what is needed in every situation. See, we can't, like, go to God on some things and not go to God on other things, or we're going to insert our opinion here, but we're going to go to God there. No, we have to go to God about everything so that we can get everything that's needed in each and every situation. Because God can rescue us from any situation. But you know what? He still expects us to apply the wisdom that he has given us to conduct, to walk with him and through our life situation. And finally, let's get close to and remain close to Jesus. See, I'm telling somebody today, you have to make Jesus a part of your daily activity. We need to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And I don't mean begging, and I don't mean crying, and I don't mean whining. I mean praising and then receiving the encouragement and the strength that we need. You see, God doesn't just want witnesses. He wants effective witnesses who can accurately relate to others what they have seen, heard, and experienced through Jesus. We must obey God and answer the call to BMW. We need to be BMWs that God loves to reside in and drive in. You see, the world looks at BMWs because they are expensive, they are sleek, and they are shiny. But what people need to remember about that BMW is what makes the BMW so expensive is what's under the hood. What's under your hood?
Yeah.
Is the word of God your engine? Is prayer your transmission? Is prayer all in your pistons? And is faith your distributor cap that causes you to be able to move the way God wants you to move, when God wants you to move, to anywhere God wants you to move? What kind of BMW are you going to be? Because God said, be my witnesses, be my worshipers, be my workers, and most of all, I need you to be my warriors. Yeah. Amen. And to God be glory. I truly pray that you, somebody, receive something today. And if you have not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in a few moments, I am going to ask Apostle Zeta to come in, and she is going to lead you in the most miraculous process of walking out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But right now, I'm going to ask that God's prophet and intercessor and Pastor Vanessa Carver to come forth, and she will, hallelujah, bind this message with prayer. And I just want to give God the glory. Amen. Pastor Vanessa.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, and everyone.
I want to say a couple of things about this message because to be a witness is about making a serious choice these days. We can't straddle the fence, and I just want everybody to be encouraged based upon this, and I thank Apostle Cook for delivering it because it really is, and I know I say this a lot, but I think this is just another alarm for many of us, this message and the way that it was delivered. So I just thank you, Father God, today right now for the opportunity to hear you through a servant, one who is poured out before you as she pours unto us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring and refreshing and energizing her. I thank you for all the prayers that went before she gave this message as she was preparing for it and heard from you. I thank you, Lord, today that no weapon formed against her shall prosper in the deliverance of this message, no backlash. We shouldn't always expect resistance, but I thank you, Lord, today for giving her strength and restoring anything, Father God, that was taken from giving this message, that you will replace it and restore it. And I also pray today, Lord, for the level of courage and humility that it takes to be a witness and truly be able to think upon this great example in the book of Acts about the things that happen versus the things we do before we do them. Even our thought processes radiate. And so we need to be aware of the things that we're doing and why we're doing them and purifying our motives. That's one of the things I heard the clearest is purification of motives, why we do what we do, and God is coming for that. And I thank you, Lord, today that you are concerned about our motives and how we're wired to do what we do and that we know we're representing you at all times. So I thank you for sealing this message, that it won't just be something that we heard today and that we value the word, and we value the rhema, the logos, and the graphe. We begin to learn what it is to value it because we're trying to walk it out, Lord. But I thank you for helping us, and I thank you for every heart across the globe that is listening to this word about being a witness. And I thank you, Lord, today for those who are facing persecution just by even thinking about this, that the level of persecution, the level of backlash the enemy tries to threaten us with, the threat even in our schools. And I come against the Antichrist spirit that is an element of this type of resistance, because I heard that very clear in our schools, on our job, even in our neighborhoods, even when we try to do things in our neighborhood, in our community, there's an Antichrist spirit even in those meetings that wants to tear down, doesn't want to give God the glory. They want to call it everything but what it is. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we become wiser and that we walk out and believe. Thank you for sealing this word, that it'll be fruitful in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, amen. Jesus. Amen. Now, at this time, I've given you some time because we don't want anybody to feel like they're being pressured into a relationship. Now, although it's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you, we wanted to give you a few moments to really just stop and think about how good God has been to you already. So we're going to hear from Apostle Zeta Flowers, and then we will hear from the man of God with his word from the men. And if any of the saints that don't usually speak would like to speak, you or give a praise or a testimony, we will give you time to do that as well. But right now we want to hear from Apostle Zeta Flowers. Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, everyone that have heard this wonderful word this morning. And the word was so good that it would just, anybody that is not saved, I believe that they would be touched by this word today because it was so clear and so so clear and so inviting. I know in her words she says that God is near you, he's with you, and he's in you. And you know, and we all must want to come near to Jesus and to know him for who he really is, praise God. And it behooves us to have that desire to want to come close to God. So So there's an invitation being made for you today. Those of you that have thought about it, heard the word of God this morning, and was touched by the word and invited through the word to come to Jesus today, we want to lead you to him this morning. Praise God. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you, and then we're going to go right into prayer. Praise God, and lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you that are ready. Praise God. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 11 and 13. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach, the word that we just heard. Verse 9 mm-hmm. says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's important that you believe. And that's what faith is, believing. Believing God for what he says. Believing him for who he is. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Because when we come to Jesus, our lives are changed, and our past is forgotten. The Lord, it's like throwing all of our past sins and all of the things that we did that have done into a sea of forgetfulness, like they have never been done. And that's how our God is. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and sin.
Yes.
Verse 11 says, I'm going to read verse 10 again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we confess with our mouth, praise God, that's when salvation begins for us. We become saved from our sins and forgiven. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the word would tell us also, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, we just heard a preacher this morning. Praise God. And so we heard the word of God, and the word of God is true. And we can believe him because his word is true. Amen. Now, if you're ready, prepare your hearts to come to the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we heard today, we heard a lot about being a witness and witnessing. Once you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you too can and will become a witness for the Lord.
Yeah.
Because you can share with others about your own life and what he did for you. All right. Let us go into this prayer if you're ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, acknowledging the fact that I am a sinner.
Yeah.
And having a desire to want to be saved, to want to know you better, and to have a right relationship with you. I am ready to accept you.
Yeah.
I believe that God the Father allowed his son to die for me Yes. To die for my sins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that he rose again.
Yes,
on the third day after his death. I am ready to be saved. Lord, would you forgive me of all of my sins?
Yes, sir.
And help me to be all that you would have me to be.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you have heard this word and if you have accepted Jesus Christ through this prayer, we thank God for you and we welcome you into the body of Christ. And I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Father God, these ones that have accepted you today, we pray for them to get stronger in you, God.
Yes, Lord.
To learn more about you.
Yes, Lord.
To be placed where they can hear your true word and have a relationship with you in the name of Jesus, that they can be taught more about you and grow and be stable and strengthened and also be a witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Glory. Okay, at this time, we gonna hear from the man of God, our wonderful bishop. And bishop has been doing a phenomenal job speaking to our brothers, because here at Spirit Alive, we want our brothers to be in their rightful place. We believe in the order of family that God created. We trust his design. And Bishop Lester always comes and he speaks directly to brothers, brother to brothers. So at this time, we're just going to ask him to come forth and give us the word for the men today. Brother Lester, come on in, take your settle in and take your time and give the brothers a word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Apostle Cook. Before I get started with the message to the men, I just want to really give Apostle Cook great honor for the teaching this morning. And the idea of BMW is so powerful because she was really speaking to the power of what's under the hood. What is in your earthen vessel is the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And what's so special about BMW, if you look at their logo, their logo is really a symbol of a propeller. It's a propeller because BMW was really a company that was designed to design. They were together to design planes and jets for war, and they retooled in order to put that same power that was to lift airplanes into the air under the hood of a car. So think about what that means for your Holy Spirit in terms of that level of power to take you into the heavenlies through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me get into this message to the men. Apostle Cook, that was an outstanding message. It's going to stick with
you.
The message for the men today, though, it has to do with a way of thinking, a way of thinking of our families, the way of thinking of our relationship to one another, to others in our family. And there was a story of a civilization, a mountain community, where these people would take their elderly parents, their parents, their grandparents. The son would take his elderly father to the top of a mountain when he was 70 and way past the years and age and livability, and they would take them up to the top of the mountain and push them off of the mountain to their death. And so this one son got to the point where he was having to take his father up to the top of this mountain and push him off to his death in his old age. And he took his father up there, and he just couldn't do it. And so he put his father, he hid his father away in this abandoned house in a room. And so he would go up there from time to time to give his father food and drink and speak with his father. And his father would share with him all of this wisdom. And over time, he started to prosper and he started to have real influence in his community. And everyone couldn't figure out why he was getting so far ahead of everyone else, when what was really happening was he had preserved that wealth of wisdom in his father that he was supposed to push to his death in his old age. And instead, he hid him away. He hid him away because he valued what his father represented in his life. And then he kept going to his father for wisdom, for information, as he fed his father and gave his father drink. So now what I want to do is look at what it's telling us here in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. So God is saying, children, do obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. Then verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and you may live long on the earth. See, God's first commandment that he's ever given that has a promise attached to it is honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. See, it didn't say if your parents were perfect. It didn't say if your parents were godly. It said honor your father and mother. And then if you honor your father and mother, it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. And then this is the point I want the brothers to focus on, because in verse 4 it says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. These days, one of the things that's happening that's affecting our living a more than abundant life is people in families are being divided and devoured by the devil because we are being too harsh with our children. Fathers are provoking their children to wrath, and then their children are growing up and remembering the harshness of their fathers who did not obey this verse that says, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not be overly harsh with your children. Do not break their spirit. And then these children are growing up, and these old people need the assistance of the children, and the children are doing what was said in this old story, in this old parable. They're taking their elderly parents to the top of the mountain and throwing them from the cliff. And normally what that looks like today is they're just abandoning them, because people today are dying of loneliness. But they're lonely because they were mean when they were young. They were overbearing when they were raising their children. They were unreasonable beyond reason. And they did this thinking they were preparing their children for a harsh world, when really they were not comforting and they were not instilling the value that these children truly represented to them. And so now, when it was time for the children to value them, the children returned the same level of energy that the parents gave to them. However, what God calls us to do is to forgive. We are not to repeat cycles of death, cycles of dysfunction that lead us to a place of death and pushing away the wisdom and the blessing that is embodied in our parents. So even if our parents weren't good to us, even if our fathers weren't good to us, when we forgive our fathers and then give them a chance to be a grandfather, you may not have been the best father, but here's your chance to be a grandfather because I'm going to forgive you. And then I'm going to love you the way you didn't love me. And now I'm going to give you the chance to love your grandchildren and get it right. And you can follow my example because I'm a man submitted to God who can do what can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about what's under the hood, the power of the Holy Spirit under the hood within your earthen vessel is the power that allows you to forgive and to raise your children in a way where you are not breaking their spirit. You are not provoking your children to wrath. You are bringing them up in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord, understanding that all that love that you're pouring into them is going to come back to you and be available for them in helping them have the wisdom to succeed and prevail and have counsel because they understand your value to them because you understand your value, their value to you. So, Apostle Cook, this is the message to the men.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anyone, I just want to say a special good morning to my aunt, Anita, Aunt Linda. Again, I want to say a special good morning to the Larsons out in Novato, California. They are my family. I love you. And just know that. Hallelujah. At this time, if there be nothing else, I'm going to dismiss you. I want everybody to have a beautiful, blessed, and safe Labor Day weekend. Now, as you know, the Father God never takes a day off. He doesn't take a holiday. And I'm going to be just like my father because on tomorrow, we are going to be standing in intercessory prayer for government because God did not create government to be overbearing, to be overreaching, or to try to have the control that only he should have. So we know that the government has been infiltrated by the enemy. And saints of God, this means war because we need the Lord to bring down some spirits in the annals of government, in the halls of government. So tomorrow, after you get all full of your barbecue or whatever deliciousness you want, you're going to have on tomorrow, save some room. Hallelujah. Come on in and get full of some Bible study and some intercessory prayer. Lend your voice. Raise your voice. Hallelujah. And join us in intercessory prayer. Because the prayers of the righteous, I believe this with everything that is within me, the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Yes. Amen.
So now for all of you that are sitting in the our sanctuary, which is, you know, where I can see you, I am unmuting your mics right now because, you know, we have our little love fest right after the service. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed. We are not ashamed. Hallelujah. So, but let me dismiss you. Now, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly.
Yes.
You are dismissed. Go in peace. Go with God. And remember, he loves you, but so do we. You are dismissed. Family in the studio, you are, all of you are unmuted. I love you, aunties. I love you, Lee and Terry.
Have a great day.
Love you, everyone. Thank you so very much.
Passion for this. Hallelujah.
God bless.
We love you.
Everybody
God
have a great weekend. Be safe.
Love you, everyone.
Love you. Amen.
Wonderful sermon.
Apostle Cook, have a wonderful day.
Much
love you guys.
Love. Yes.